I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, January 10th, 2018 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and as always, I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, in a couple of minutes, I have got Clint Richardson coming up, as I had promised earlier in the week. I'm going to have him up for the entire 2 hours, and that's part of the reason why I put that lead in music is, does that make me crazy? And I'll tell you why. Because I listened to Clint on John's show last Friday, listened to a rebroadcast of it, and frankly, with what he was saying, I was scratching my head going a little bit crazy, so I thought I'd bring him up today, give him the entire 2 hours, and let him walk us through this, because two things about what he had said on John's show last week really stuck in my mind. In my thorough investigation many, many years ago, back in 1995, of the Internal Revenue Service Code, I read that book twice, and like John says, it's worse than watching paint dry. It's like listening to paint dry. But at any rate, there's the terms in that code, and it's interesting, they call it code and not a law. There's a reason for that. In the code, they have specific definitions. For the purpose of this chapter, the definition of the blah, blah, blah is this or that, and they change it. And Clint says in his book, in order to really grasp that book, you have to literally understand the definitions of the book before you can even get into the scope of it. Now, before I go there, somebody's ringing a bell. Anyway, before I go there, two things. I want to give a shout out to Marty in Idaho because, yes, indeed, I did go in last night. I watched The Greatest Story Never Told. And, folks, if you haven't seen it, you need to watch it. I'm actually going to break it down because it's not quite in chronological order, but it gives us a completely different perspective of Adolf Hitler and why he did what he did, the position that Germany was in at the time that he came into power and who he was before he came into power. Just a lot of things that I'm going to actually try to go through this weekend and reformat and put it into my own words for you. But you should go in and watch it anyway, The Greatest Story Never Told. And I also want to give a shout out to Carol Asher on that 5-minute video that she sent me on Jerry Spence and the police state. It was fascinating, and it sounds like a book that might be a read. So with that said, with no further ado, let us go to Clint Richardson. Clint, how are you today?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. The two things that that caught me when it caught my attention when you were on John's show last week was the Bible is the law, okay? And the second thing is the terms that are used to confuse us. We think it means one thing. They think it they define it to mean something else. And it caught my attention because, for example, if you go into court, the first thing they ask you in court is, you know, are you the person that is listed in this complaint? And as soon as you say, yeah, you're screwed, because that is a corporate fiction. And the term person in their mind, from what I understand, is a corporation. Am I right in that?
It is the incorporation of a man into a body politic, yes. It's not fair to say that a person necessarily is a corporation, because a natural person is an individual, as they define it. And that just simply means that it's kind of like a corporation soul, if you will. You're just a single entity. Our official person is a corporation, association, all the different, you know, things they define it as, which means that it's many natural persons that come together as one person or one artificial person. And the reason you do that is for protection, because then, you know, the guys from Enron can say, well, I didn't do anything, the corporation did. Mm-hmm. I'm limited in my liability as a natural person because I have this artificial person that I'm operating under.
I see. Okay, so what I had suggested today, as we spoke the other day, which is one of those things where you get on the line with another talk show host and you can't get off the phone, you know, that's happened to me twice this week already. But what I had suggested, what I'm going to do is just kind of give you the floor and let you give my audience a quick overview of this. And as we go through this, you know, I'll pose some questions to you, open up the phone lines in the second hour, because, you know, there are people that are trying to figure out how to opt out of this spider web. And then there are other people that really, at their particular point in life, and from my point of view, really shouldn't, okay? But I want to get into this with you and, you know, just start from the beginning and let's get through and, you know, see what your whole concept is. Go ahead.
Well, one of people's heroes in this political movement was Thomas Jefferson, and he has a very good quote. He says, "Nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal, and nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude." And that, in my opinion, is a truism. If you have if you understand what he's referring to and the context he's referring to it, he's literally referring to the man who has nothing binding him. Okay, so we have to understand, when I say a natural person, that is still a fiction. You have to know that when I say artificial person, natural person, person, etc., etc., the plural of person is not people. That's the first important lesson. The plural of the word person is persons. We are persons of the United States. We are not the people of the United States. And that should be the cornerstone of everything that you hear today. Well, you are not one of the people. You are a person.
Okay, that brings something else to mind, Clint, and I overheard you say this. Matter of fact, I believe I mentioned it yesterday on my program. The preamble to the United States Constitution, this is, "We the people of the United States, in order for a more perfect union, blah, 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 blah." When they say "we," they're not really referring to us. Is that correct?
Well, they cannot. You cannot form a contract and put it upon everyone in the world or everyone that you choose without their voluntary consent. You can't just suddenly say, I mean, we can't get together, Michael, and create a new constitution and say, "We the people," and include everybody. There's just, for one thing, you know, you can't even do that with a petition, let alone a constitution, right? So you cannot, obviously the constitution does not include everybody in the world. If that were the case, then you would have no purpose for citizenship. Obviously the constitution did not include slaves. They actually passed an amendment in 1961 that would have made slavery permanent before the Civil War. It was passed by the House, it was passed by the Senate, and it was signed by the President. It went into law. States started ratifying it right before the Civil War broke out. It would have made slavery a perpetual entity, which meant that the term black is a color of law, so it's the law that colors you, either white or black. These don't mean what you think they do. It has nothing to do with skin color. It has to do with your blood. When we look up blood and what's called an attainder or a corruption of blood, that is what we suffer. Our blood has been turned black. In other words, it's not recognized by the law. So these people who set up this system, Ed Rivero calls them, these scoundrels who set up this system, these lawyers and these masons, who set up the Constitution, and by the way, constitutions are a dime a dozen. We're the only nation in the world that actually celebrates its Constitution as if it's something special. I mean, the Book of Constitutions is a Masonic book. It's nothing special. I know people don't like to hear that, but even Washington himself, when talking about the Declaration of Independence, was like, "Yeah, it's not original. It's just the sentiment of the time. We didn't do anything original." Right, so you gotta tone it down a little bit. You gotta pull your patriotism back, or what I call Stockholm syndrome, and look at the facts. Look at what the truth of the matter is. And the only way we can look at the truth is to look at the history of what they did. Not the great shining pictures of Washington who looks like God on the top of the Capitol building surrounded by angels. Right? That's not what we should be looking at.
Okay. Well, okay. Let me interject something real quick here. And it's interesting you brought that up. And it ties part and parcel into what I had just watched last night and mentioned at the beginning of this program. I have done some research into the history of World War II, and I've peeked around the edges, and I've looked at different things, and I've, you know, actually done shows on it, you know. And then I went in and watched the movie last night, The Greatest Story Never Told, and I got a much clearer picture of the entire scenario of World War II. And that's why, that's, you know, same thing here, is that if we step back a little bit, just like I did last night with this other topic, and we take a look at it in a different context, then maybe we'll have a greater explanation of what has really happened here. So with that, go ahead.
Well, I mean, if you're referring to, I mean, if you want to talk about World War II, we can certainly talk about that, but see,
that wasn't why I brought that up. What I'm doing is tying that into my perception of World War II being broader now than it was before last night, which is same thing that what I'm trying to do with you here. So let's know.
Well,
let's...
because what that documentary does, and I'm familiar with it, is it shows you some actual facts that cannot be disputed. In other words, written facts, pictorial facts, things that show a completely different light on what was actually happening. And that's what happens when you start understanding, for instance, the words of the Bible. You can't read the Bible in English. You can only read it in what's called the higher language or the king's language. Doesn't mean it's higher or better. It just means that it's a higher in law. Right? So when you're reading the Bible, which is a copyrighted piece of the king, of the crown corporation, and when you're reading the common law, or any law for that matter, you must know the terms of that art. Now, terms of art is a very, very important concept, because everything is an art, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a politician, a botanist, whatever it is, whatever business you're in, you have your own terms of art. If I'm sitting there and I'm a doctor and I have a nurse and I ask for a scalpel and she gives me a hammer, you know, I'm going to be in some serious trouble. I'm not going to be able to function as a doctor if my nurse doesn't know my terms of art. Do we agree on that?
Yes, go ahead.
So what happens when a judge talks to me and I speak to him in the common language and he's speaking into me in a higher language, the legal language, which is completely opposed or opposite to the common language? I'm going to say some things that are going to get me into some serious trouble because I have no idea what I'm saying. I'm
but
in
they
a
know
setting.
That. Clint,
of course they know that.
Yeah.
Of course.
They're tricking you in the witch's court, if I might coin a phrase from Eric the Screamer. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, read the Making of a Slave, and it's very clear that the slave can never be on par or equal to the master, and the only way that the slave can ever be equal is to learn the master's language. That's it. That's the only way.
Okay.
And that is why it is said that by many people, including Horace Greeley and a lot of prominent figures throughout history who are actually part of this elite group, this bloodline. And by the way, the answer to your question is this Constitution was created for ourselves and our posterity, meaning the bloodline of the kings of England and our posterity, our children.
Right. And that's, yes, I was going to touch on that, because when it says we the people, they're really talking about, and it made total sense to me when you mentioned that on John's show.
Right.
It's for their children and their children's children, all those who are far off, and incorporating that into passing down, which I was an estate planner for 20 years, so I totally get it, passing down whatever it is to their children and all of those who are far off. It has nothing to do with us. Go ahead.
Exactly, and you must understand that. You must understand that, because if you don't, and you do, and see, that's our commonality, is that we think we are the people. We think, and we're trained, and we're completely in the delusion, the purposeful delusion, that we are the people. And I'll explain why that is not the case as
we
go on.
We excuse me, are we not the 14th Amendment people, according to them?
Well, I'll put it to you this way, okay? When we're talking about the Constitution, we're, again, what are we talking about? We're talking about terms of art. Who wrote the Constitution? Was it you? Was it me? Nope. Or was it them?
It was them.
Okay, so who then, as we all sit out here and argue, oh, that's constitutional, unconstitutional, oh, this, that, that, who then defines the terms of what they wrote?
Them.
Is it you? Is it
no.
me? Well,
no,
so who where are you going to go to find the source? Where will you go to find the source of the words that make up the Constitution? Will you go to Clint Richardson or John Stadtmiller or Alex Jones, or will you go to, say, Bouvier's 1856 dictionary, which was commissioned by Congress to actually define the terms that were written and have to do with the Constitution?
Well, I guess that's where you'd go then. All right.
And okay.
So,
well,
so let us go there, since you are.
So, in other words, a primary source. You're going to go to. That's what I call myself. I'm a primary source researcher. I don't listen to other people. I don't listen to radio anymore. I specifically, if I hear something, I go verify it and generally prove it wrong, because primary source is often different than what you hear around the way in a lot of, because we romanticize. We want things to be true that aren't, mm-hmm. and when we live in a lie is the truth. we all live in our own little lie, and when we hear the truth and that truth is against our lifestyle, when we pretend to be something we're not, it offends us. It really, you know, it shouldn't, because it's the truth. And
no,
truth
no,
can't.
I get it. I mean, it's up is down, right is left, you know, fake is real and all that good stuff. So no, so I get it.
Right. Also, so what we're talking about here, when it says we the people, you'll notice, and people for some reason don't question these things like I do. I don't really know why it is that I was born this way, that I question and I look at every little detail. But you'll notice that the people is capitalized. We is capitalized. The is not capitalized. People is capitalized. Union is capitalized. Tranquility is capitalized. Like, certain words are capitalized. And we call that a caponym. A caponym is a specific thing in language that changes the meaning of the word. Okay, so any word that's capitalized in the Constitution has the meaning that they set forth.
Interesting. Okay.
So if I say the people, generally I can call us all the people. Mm-hmm. But if I'm talking about the people of the Constitution and their posterity, I must refer to a certain group of people as defined by them in a caponym, in a capitalized word.
And in this case, we're speaking of the, quote, bloodline, right? Go ahead.
Well, you're speaking of, yeah, I mean, look who signed the Constitution, all of them coming from the bloodlines of the kings of England. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, wait a minute, think about who came over here. Think about who colonized. Who was it? It wasn't even men. It was a corporation. It was the equivalent to the East India Company going over and conquering other places, other lands. We were a corporation, the Virginia Company, etc., coming over here as part of the King of England. And guess what? If you read the earlier writings, and this is why it's so important to look at the Bible and understand these terms, when the colonists, before this became, quote-unquote, the United States of America, which were the 13 colonies become states, united, before the United States was ever actually created as a corporation in Washington, D.C., where it was just Congress assembled as statesmen representing the states. That is the true legitimate United States. It's not a building. It's a people. It's a representative body of men representing the states themselves. That is the legitimate Congress. And then they recreated themselves into a corporation, created Title II, which is called Congress, and made themselves members or employees of themselves, basically. So they became employees in this massive holding company. I call it the company store or the slave holding company.
And then they declared that July 4, 1776, correct?
Sure.
Okay.
And that's important because, you know, time is an essential element in all of this, because there's such thing as an epoch. For instance, we're on the Anno Domini calendar, which is from the year of our Lord. It's called the year of our Lord. The problem is every year is the year of our Lord, so I'm afraid that actually refers to the king or the pope, because they are God.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why that is when we come back.
All right. Yeah, there's one of those classic breaks that I know you have your own thoughts about. But yeah, okay. Michael Herzog with Clint Richardson, folks. We're going to try to get it from his point of view and from actual documents and readings and conclusions that he's made. Back in three, Michael, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Be right
back. Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Michael Herzog, you're coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Yes, I remember exactly when I lost my mind. It was about midway through first hour of John Stadler's show last Friday when I was listening to Clint. And speaking of Clint, let's get back to Clint. Clint, continue. Go ahead.
Well, I left off with, what is God? And that's the important message. Because you got to understand that the Pope is the vicar of God or the vicar of Christ, meaning the replacement or anti. Anti just means in place of, instead of, or a replacement of. The king, same way. So when the colonists came over here, they actually referred to the king as God, because God is a generic term. I don't want to offend anybody here. This is history. This is very verifiable. I've blogged about it. There's sources all over the place. God just means magistrate. God means anything in authority. Okay, and to prove that, just go to any judicial site, go to any that keeps court cases, look up some old court cases, and they still do it sometimes, and you'll see that when we go to court, we didn't plead to the judge as we do now, we prayed to the God of the court.
Interesting.
That is,
okay.
That is the actual words used in the transcripts of the old cases, because it was a very well-known and understood fact that the term God meant whoever was in authority over you. Nowadays, we've lost that completely, even though it's part of the record, and it's part of the colony's records that we, as colonists, we had God-given rights, the rights of the laws of nature, and those rights came from the king. That's why we had them. All right, so this is a very important part of history that we cannot ignore, because the whole thing is based on that concept of the false god, the replacement, the anti-god, if you will.
Okay,
because
so,
remember.
So, well, go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, you go ahead.
All right, no, I was just going to say, but okay, so it's the god in the legal context, but then, you know, I could throw in there, but there's a god of the universe, and, you know, that's
right.
Debatable.
But you see, that's the important part, because here we now transfer to the Bible, keeping in mind that the Bible is the common law. It is the foundation of all law. It is called the law of nature, not the natural law, the law of nature. Nature and God are irreplaceable terms in that manner, because when you're talking about Jehovah, or the four letters, J-H-V-H, whatever it is, right? The unspeakable word, which was a ridiculous custom of the Jews, right? Jehovah, and of course they didn't have a J, so I'm just, you know, I'm just going with the modern tongue, basically. But Jehovah, when the Bible was written, Jehovah was used. It wasn't the word God, okay? When the Bible was written, words like magistrate, king, Theos, which meant godlike, Elohim, which is in the first Genesis, which is actually the book of Moses. The word Genesis wasn't attached to it till later. Okay, the Elohim, the gods, created the world. What does Christ say? He says, don't be part of the world. See, this is, it's very interesting when you get the right translation of the Bible and you understand what it's saying. The gods created the heaven and the earth, the Elohim, right? That is not Jehovah. Jehovah is, as you say, the universe, the every aspect of self-existence, life itself, all as one universe, as we, you know,
how about,
have called
how
it.
About the, how about the omnipotent multitude of atoms? How's that?
Whatever it is, the only really important aspect of this to know and understand and go by is that it is self-evident truth or self-existence. So when I look at a flower growing in nature, I cannot deny its existence. It is part of God. When I look at you, Michael, and I don't add your surname, your legal name, I know that you are a self-existent part of God. We're all part of God. See, the idea of religion was to externalize God, meaning Jehovah, from nature. So God created the universe and somehow sits outside of it. Well, no, that's not the definition. You see, Jehovah is the only time where we see that the word God is a verb. And this was the most spiritual thing that I've ever understood. God is a verb. So Jehovah is a verb. That means when you say the supreme being, that means all that is in being right now. That means all that is self-existent right now. That is the definition of God or Jehovah. And that's why they call it the law of nature or the law of God. They're interchangeable terms, right? So we're doing everything we can to go against Jehovah. Now, what did the king do? There's also Archon. There's also, so all these terms that were very specific. If I said Theos, I meant godlike. I meant a magistrate. I meant, you know, if I said Archon, the Gnostics called the Archons as brain parasites, right? So there's all kinds of words that are stricken throughout the Bible. And they all got translated or mistransliterated by the king purposely into the word God. So that meant that every time a man, a king, a magistrate of some, you know, said, I want all the firstborn killed, we were then say, well, gee, that God's a real a-hole. Well, how could God do this? Oh, I can't worship a God that's such a jerk. Mm-hmm. Because the translation was that men are God. That was the king's doing, because the king acts as God.
Okay, well, there's a lot to swallow. All right, we'll be back in a few minutes. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, Wendt Richardson. Stick around, more to come. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, with my special guest, Clint Richardson. And there you are. Now, there is some real bumper music. I won't back down. I don't do it. Clint Richardson doesn't do it. John Stadtmiller doesn't do it. And a litany of other hosts on this network that don't do it. That said, let's get back to Clint. Clint, continue with this as you confuse me even more. Go ahead.
Well, I just want you to know that what I said before the break, first of all, it's not my opinion. I'm not coming up with this off. I'm not creating a new religion, et cetera, et cetera. I'm telling you out of Strong's Concordance, every time you see a word in the Bible, you need to go to the Greek lexicon, to the Chaldean lexicon, to the Strong's Concordance, especially Strong's Concordance, because it's specifically made for the King James Bible. so that you can understand the actual intent of the word. Remember, the king changed these words to confuse. So again, you think that the actions of men are the actions of God, i.e. the actions of nature itself, as if nature consciously is going to come and do something to you. The only way that God is going to do something to you is if you're stupid enough, like we are, to poison your water supply. Yes, you're going to get cancer. That's the wrath of God. You've destroyed the beautiful system that was created for you. You've poisoned your own life-giving jewel. And yeah, that's the wrath of God. But all these other instances, when you translate the word into archon or king or judge or governor or president, whatever, those are men, and that's why the confusion. That's why people turn away from the Bible, because religion teaches that in every case the word God means God. It means Jehovah. What they don't tell you is that Jehovah is very seldom used. It's very seldom that is a reference to the actual meaning of the word that we suggest. Now, it's not a man in the sky. It's not a man sitting in the clouds. In fact, it's important to note that the Bible itself is not religion at all. Religion builds around idols. Okay, it turns whatever it religiously worships into an idol. The Bible is not religion, and the laws of the United States, the court cases that surround the Bible, are very clear that when it's talking about the common law, it's talking about the Bible in a non-secular, a non-religious way. It's not a religion. It's the teachings of Christ. And Christ, again, you have to embrace the metaphor. Christ is a personification of the law of God. You follow Christ. You don't worship Christ. You follow in the footsteps of Christ. You're not supposed to worship Christ as God. In fact, there's plenty of times where Christ sat there and prayed to God, because to Jehovah, his father, nature itself, because he couldn't figure out what to do. He was confused, or he needed guidance, and so he actually prayed to God, right? So obviously that means that the whole concept of the Trinity and all that stuff, that's all religious doctrine, and the Bible is very clear not to get lost in religion. Take no other doctrine. Doctrine means law. Doctrine is defined as law. Take no other law before the Bible. And that's why the Bible is at the foundation of the common law. Once you get past the Bible, once you break that law of nature, once you start accepting persons, places, and things, i.e. the names of things, the nouns, once you start accepting that you're a number, that you're a Mr. or a Mrs., that you have a title, a flattering title, all of which the Bible says do not respect in any circumstance. Once you start doing this, you've now broken the foundation of common law. Well, I'm here to tell you there is no common law in the United States, and there are no common law offenses against the United States, because the common law doesn't exist in the United States, and that means the Bible doesn't exist. In fact, when they define but as far as religious freedom goes, the freedom of religion, as they call it, mm-hmm. See, they changed it for us. For us, it means the freedom to believe without the freedom to act on that belief. You are free to believe whatever the heck you want. If you want to believe in the flying spaghetti monster as your God, you are more than welcome to do that, but you cannot, under any circumstances, act upon the moral law, which is the Bible. You cannot act upon the unwritten law in the written law world. Okay, and that's what the legal realm is. It's all words created by men. Natural law, or the law of nature, is self-evident. We all know what's right and wrong, all right? We all know what nature is. We all know what our true selves are. It's when we start adding fiction, lies, artifice, names, titles, and we start giving those names and titles more authority than the real thing. In other words, agency, representation. Okay, so if you're to understand your place in the United States, you must understand this one concept, because that is what we are in. We are in what's called an agency relationship. Now, to start with agency, let's go back to Stanley Milgram. Are you familiar with the Milgram experiments?
No, sir, I am not, but let me interject here one thing. When you start talking about agency, now, To me, from what I'm gathering here, is the statutory law in the United States and the Bible actually are bipolar. Okay, and the second thing is, as far as agency is concerned, I lost my train of thought here. Okay, so the Bible and the statutory law of the United States are two separate entities. Right. Well, continue, and I'll grab my...
The written law is that which is opposed to the unwritten law. The law of man is that which is opposed to the law of nature. You can say it any way you want. Okay, the law of man is that which is opposed to the law of God. All right, so the Roman law is what we're under. The Roman or strict law is opposed to the law of nature, as is defined. All right, so it's opposed to the Bible.
Okay.
The only way that the Roman law, the strict law, the words can apply to you is if you claim to be an agent.
Okay, well, I just got my thought back. Okay, so that, you know, does that enter into, you know, if the Bible is the actual common law, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and all that good stuff that everybody knows, and then we have the statutory law or the agency, well, right? Go ahead.
Okay, so it's the Old Testament. It wasn't replaced by the New Testament or the New Law, again, which Christ is your example to follow. Mm-hmm. It wasn't replaced, it was fulfilled, as they say. So the New Law, the New Testament, fulfilled the Old Testament. The Old Testament said, do not kill, do not, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. But that's the law of the Jew. Okay. The important part about that is that the way that the word Jew, and Jew wasn't in the Bible, it was Yahudi, and Ayudios, okay? And those two words were what we commonly say is the Jew, as translated again by the king. Those two words meant those who were opposed to Christ. Christ meaning the new law, okay? The law of nature. So those who are opposed to the law of nature, that is the Jew. And that's why the money, the love of money, the love of interest, the love of everything that's fictional, the love of characters, of persons, right? So the old law said, thou shalt not kill. But you see, they figured out a way around that. They said, well, what if I'm a king and I have sovereignty? Then I can kill. What if I'm a soldier of the king and I get a license from God to kill? Can I then kill and not be breaking the commandments? Well, sure, because the king, acting as the replacement of God or the replacement of Christ, tells me I can kill, right? So I'm acting in agency of the king, who's my principal, and I'm killing a third party on his behalf. I have a license to kill. License means anarchy or lawlessness, okay? Any license that you get will always be permission to break the law, period, end of story. That's what a license is, okay? So what did the New Testament do then? Said, hey, thou shalt not respect any person. Thou shalt not respect any flattering title. See, these aren't the Ten Commandments anymore. These are the mortar that goes between the bricks. These are the thing that fulfill and stop you from acting in fiction, acting in persona. I'm a soldier, therefore I have license to kill. I'm a general, therefore I have order to drop a bomb on Hiroshima. I'm this, I'm that. I'm the president, I'm the king. See, that's the New Testament. The New Testament says no, respect, give no man authority. God, i.e. Jehovah, the laws of nature are your only authority. That is the highest law. The state recognizes it as the highest law. But the state, these men who want to be gods over you must get you into an agency relationship. In other words, the devil or Satan just means that which is adversarial to God or nature. Okay, your adversary is anyone who tries to get you into a contract. The Bible says do not contract. Do not swear oaths. Do not do any of the things that we do as a daily the function of being a citizen of a false god, i.e. a corporation called the United States.
So you just tripped my trigger here. The thought that I lost because of this massive overload of information that I'm getting, of which even my siphon of a brain can't, you know, correlate it that quickly, is adhesion contracts. So the natural law of the Bible, and then they've got us all caught up in the system. By what? Adhesion? I mean, we didn't just sign our name. We didn't know, for example, when, you know, I got my first job. He said, well, you got to get a Social Security card at 16 years old. That was then. This is now, where you got it before you even walk out of the hospital, or, you know, or taken out of the hospital. That they didn't tell us what kind of strings went along with that. You had to do that in order to get paid. Now, these adhesion, I mean, in reading of the Internal Revenue Service Code years ago, I find that it's an assumed liability. And everybody said, oh, yeah, okay, you know, the taxpayer pays, I must be a taxpayer, so I must pay. Well, if you really read between the lines, like you have done in this realm, I have done in the Internal Revenue Service realm, that doesn't apply. You are assumed liable unless you know how to be not liable. So
exactly.
Yes, so those two things between you and I correlate perfectly. So this is why I understand where you're going with this. I'm trying to break this down in a logical sense, because I know the audience is out there. And by the way, I'm going to open up the phone lines. Go ahead, in the second hour. Go ahead.
You got to understand one thing. This is very difficult for people, because logic doesn't apply to the legal realm. The legal realm is against reason. It's against logic. This is why they can change the word, the meaning of a word at any time to suit their needs. This is why the law changes, or the interpretation of the law by the courts changes on a daily basis, right? It's strict, but it's only as strict as the current precedent set by the courts, right? You look at some of the quotes by the courts, they say they are the government, they are the lawmakers, and everybody knows it, except the people who are under the law. Right, so agency is the legal relation founded upon the express or implied contract of the parties, or created by law, by virtue of which one party, i.e. the agent, is employed and authorized to represent and act for the other, i.e. the principal, in business dealings with third persons. Okay, so how does that affect us? I, as a man, have chosen to abandon God, i.e. abandon nature and the laws thereof. I've given up my unalienable rights. I've sold those rights in exchange for political rights and protection. I've just become an agent to the United States, a corporation located in Washington, D.C. that is not part of any of the 50 states. In other words, it's not part of the land structure of what we call the United States of America. It is a corporation entitled, quote, United States in Congress. Okay? So the United States in Congress assembled is the legitimate or de jure government of the states when they get together and they do things. And then you have the United States, which is a foreign corporation, which we are all stuck in through this agency relationship, through citizenship. Okay, what that means is that we have been taken from our what it would be called our natural state. I was born in California, but my status as a United States citizen was birthed in the United States of America, or excuse me, the United States, which is the district of Columbia. So,
which is a corporation, right?
A corporation created by Congress,
right?
Which you know is not necessarily a bad thing. It was of course intended to be a bad thing, but I mean when Congress creates something, they create it into the United States. They don't create it. They don't have the power of creation, in other words. So they have to create, and they put it into this corporate structure. The president is, of course, the CEO of that structure, and there are millions and millions of employees that are unelected under that president in the executive branch. So that when they create, say, the Federal Reserve, they create it into the executive. They give the executive full power as a king, essentially, which is a whole other subject that would
take up another show.
that's where the nature of emergency war powers comes from. So every time you hear a presidential directive or an executive order, that's because Congress in 1933, I believe it was, passed a law that's still on the books, and you can read it, and it says everything that the president does from 1917, I believe, or from 1933, is hereby approved. Congress already approved the actions of the president from 1933 on. That is why the president has so much power. Now, Congress is fully aware of this. They can stop it at any time. Don't ever think that there is actually any true competition between governments, between the agencies of government, because we're not talking about the de jure government. We're not under the judicial branch. There is no judicial branch for United States citizens. We're under administrative law. Okay? What does that mean? Well, that means that we're in an agency relationship. In other words, I have a status. The word status is a simile to person or persona, a mask in the Latin, right? So I have a status as a United States citizen. That is my persona, and I use that as what's called a commercial vessel. Very much, remember, we're on the law of the sea, not the land.
Right, maritime.
Right? So everything's under this admiralty law. I fly the flag of the United States, not my state flag, because I'm not a state citizen. Right, I'm a United States citizen, and therefore, I'm an agency. What does that mean? I'm in an express or implied contract created of the parties or created by law by virtue of which one party, the agent, that's me, is employed and authorized to represent and act for the other, that's the United States, the principal, in business dealings with third persons. Okay, so who's the third person? Who's left? The state. See, I've been plucked out of the land. I've been plucked out of the territory. When the states were created, they were territories of the United States. Certain people got together, the bloodlines, the landholders, and they created the state constitutions. They took the private lands, and the public lands were all released to the United States, as it says in the constitutions and the enabling acts. Okay? So all those public lands where we exist as United States citizens are governed by the United States, that corporation. The whole government of each state is set up to govern us.
Well, with that, there's another load that I have to siphon through.
We are foreigners, in other words.
That makes sense. When we get back from the break, I'm going to tell you why. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Be right back. Stick around. More to come with Glenn Richardson.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right, doing the best you can. Well, it's all right, as long as you let me.
All right, folks, yes, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, doing the best he can here with Clint Richardson. Thanks for putting that bumper music in there. I gave it to Dan yesterday because it was so blasé. It was just, you know, the instrumental to The American Awakening over and over and over again. So thanks, Dan. I appreciate that. You're right, Johnny, on the spot with it. Okay, let's continue, Clint. Go ahead.
Agency. Well, you know, the last thing we said is you're a foreigner, okay? Everybody listening that is a United States citizen, you're considered a foreigner by the state where you reside because your domicile is the United States. Your birth certificate says you're a United States citizen, not a state citizen. All right. So, in other words, you got to consider the 50 states as the 50 squares on a Monopoly board.
Mm-hmm.
You have private landholders who created the state constitutions out of the territory, i.e. land. Territory comes from the word terra, meaning land, and they are the landholders. They privately own that, and they're under their own private law. You got to understand, these people are not United States citizens. United States was created to hold slaves. Okay, 13th Amendment, 14th Amendment were basically the enfranchisement of slaves into the United States, taking the right of private slave ownership and putting it into the government. So you have the 14th Amendment, quote-unquote, citizen. It's actually called a denizen. You should look up the word denizen. It means citizen, but it also means basically a sort of a, almost like a limbo, state of limbo. You can't hold land. You can't do anything because you are not attached to the land. You're not attached to the territory where you reside. You reside in the public lands of the United States. You're not a citizen of the state. Therefore, you're not the people, the word people being capitalized. You're foreign agents of the United States. You are non, you're an alien, literally.
Okay, you're non-resident. You're a non-resident alien, which is, it makes perfect sense.
You're a resident alien. You're right, actually okay. A resident. Alien is the...
Okay,
is the,
well, they can collect on resident aliens as well, the Internal Revenue Service Code. But this also goes back to 1933 when Louis McFadden got on the floor in House Resolution 192, and he said, we're all enemies of the state. So in context, the reality is we indeed are enemies of the, quote, state, right?
Well, it's more accurate to say that you have your potential enemies of the state.
Okay.
They changed the wording of the law that made you potential. So in other words, all that it takes is for them to give you the flattering title, enemy of the state, terrorist, insurgent, whatever they want to call you in their code, and all of a sudden you're an enemy of the state. So at any time you can be declared an enemy of the state. And the truth of the matter is, the Civil War never ended. Again, a whole other topic. If you just consider that, the Civil War never ended. We're occupied. Each state is occupied by the United States. The Labor Code even would agree with me. In the first part of the Labor Code, it says the presence of a foreign military represents the marshals of law. Why do you think you have a United States military bases not only in every country around the world, but in every state of the United States? Okay, so you got to consider that you are basically a voluntary subject, voluntary slave of the United States, and you're being guarded. You're being protected. by the United States.
Well, according to them, I'm a human resource, Clint. You know. Anyway, we got to go to the top of the hour break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Michael Herzog with Clint Richardson. Another hour of this. Phone lines will be open, 800-313-9443 if you want to jump into this mix. Be right back.
A price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, 'cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.